Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. One last hour in earlier today trending on Twitter, I noticed Kavanaugh's name. Well, how about it? There he is. Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice, who went through a lengthy investigation in a very lengthy process to be appointed onto the Supreme Court last year, right around this time. I think it was this month of September you saw all of this. It's almost like deja vu all of a sudden. New York Times put out this article over the weekend. Oh, more accusers, more sexual assault accusers for Brett Kavanaugh. We need to reopen this case. We need to look at the FBI to start everything all over again. We need to impeach Brett Kavanaugh because he's this giant sexual predator. So it's all based on a book from someone that works for the New York Times. Also, it's worth noting that some of these people that are putting these new accusations together have certain connections, including to the Clintons, and certain connections to certain donors, which I'll lay out here in a moment. But there was a correction that came out from the New York Times after these allegations. It's kind of interesting. Sexual misconduct allegations. In the report, the New York Times had to put out a correction. And I got to be honest, they shouldn't have been a correction. You know what they should have put out was a retraction. Here's the editor's note to the sexual predator, Brett Kavanaugh. An earlier version of this article, which was adapted from a forthcoming book, did not include one element of the book's account. Oh, that's interesting. So the New York Times purposely deceived people by leaving out an important detail about Brett Kavanaugh. So let's see what this editor's note continues to say. Account regarding an assertion by a Yale classmate that friends of Brett Kavanaugh pushed his male part into the hand of a female student at a drunken dorm party. The book reports that the female student declined to be interviewed, and friends say that she does not recall the incident. Well, that's weird, isn't it? So they wrote an entire book about this accuser without actually talking to the accuser. And when reached for comment, the friend said, no, she actually said she does not recall this incident. Isn't that something, huh? Is it weird to say that what's the purpose of writing this book, and is it a new revelation if the person themselves, the one that you say is this victim, said it never happened? That's a little strange that the New York Times would leave that out of the article, isn't it? Wow. You may want to include that next time. What Bush League reporting from the New York Times? They also said, we also uncovered a previously unreported story about Mr. Kavanaugh in his freshman year that echoes Ms. Ramirez's allegation. A classmate, Max Steer, okay, remember that name, saw Mr. Kavanaugh with his pants down at a different drunken dorm party where friends pushed his male part into the hand of a female student. Mr. Steer, who runs a nonprofit organization in Washington, notified senators and the FBI about his account, but the FBI did not investigate, and Mr. Steer was declined to discuss it publicly. We corroborated the story with two officials who have communicated with Mr. Steer. The female student declined to be interviewed, and friends say she does not recall the episode. So another instance where she does not recall. Well, what's interesting about Max Steer, because people have pointed out a few things about him. Let me read this for you real quick. Did you know, and it's funny how the New York Times, they even, after getting called out, by leaving out some very important information, which was the person denies this account, and they never actually talked to the person. They wrote an entire book without actually talking to the person they say is the victim. But Mr. Steer, S-T-I-E-R, they leave this out of the article, again, inside of the presentation. Did you know, this is from Charlie Kirk online, and a lot of people have been posting this, Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones $850,000 to settle a sexual assault case. The man who represented Bill Clinton? Max Steer. The same Max Steer who is now accusing Kavanaugh of allegedly assaulting a woman. You know, it's weird that the New York Times wouldn't put the connection that Mr. Steer is a lawyer who also worked with Hillary Clinton during this whole Fusion GPS deal. Oh, that's interesting. They notify inside of their article that Mr. Steer runs a nonprofit organization in Washington. You wouldn't think, you might want to know that sort of thing because it may put out an idea of a motivation of why all of this is happening. Here's another interesting little fun fact. Kavanaugh allegation witness Max Steer was a Clinton defense lawyer during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Brett Kavanaugh was one of Ken Starr's prosecutors investigating Clinton. You know, the case that Steer lost. One person says it's not all that, not that much of a jump to a conclusion that Steer might hold a grudge after all of these years. Wow, it's weird. None of that was disclosed by the New York Times. Huh, isn't that something? You scratching your head on this one? It shows the true colors of the organization. Here's another interesting fun fact about the sexual misconduct allegation from the New York Times writing up on that book. It says, we report tonight the real bombshell. Christine Ford's close high school friend, who Ford said was at the party when Kavanaugh allegedly assaulted her, said Ford's story is not believable and told the FBI Ford's allies pressured her, threatening her with a smear campaign to say otherwise. Well, that's weird, right? The lawyers in Ford together smeared someone to try to pressure them to lie to the FBI. Wow, that's weird. Why wasn't that in the New York Times story? Huh, why wasn't that reported? This is beyond ridiculous at this point, beyond ridiculous. And all weekend long, all of the celebrities that are woke, all out there, impeach Kavanaugh, impeach Kavanaugh. You have politicians out there, impeach Kavanaugh, impeach Kavanaugh. Some of them running for president of the United States, impeach Kavanaugh. They're standing by their guns. Isn't that something? Here's a couple of different comments online about the New York Times Kavanaugh story. Tim Young says, if an accuser can't recall the thing that they're accusing someone of, wouldn't that no longer make them an accuser? So just by the fact that the media in New York Times continues to call this person an accuser when they don't talk to the person, and even the book that's written about this account points out that they never talked to this person, and the people around the person say she's denied it. She said it never happened. Well, that's interesting. Is she still an accuser? Or is there a reason why you're calling her an accuser still? Could there be some sort of bias in that reporting? Could it be some terrible act of, I don't know, left-wing bias against Brett Kavanaugh? Is that so hard to believe that the New York Times does that sort of thing? Here's Mark Simone, a radio personality, wrote, can you ever trust the New York Times again? In the fake news story, they describe Max Steer as nonpartisan, failed to point out that he's a Democrat activist, was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, his wife was an Obama appointee, and that he and Kavanaugh are longtime enemies. Wow. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? They should have retracted the story. They shouldn't have corrected it. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Yeah, I'd love to talk to someone that still thinks Kavanaugh should be impeached. I would love to hear anyone defend the New York Times right now. Is there one person that could defend the New York Times? Please, please, please help enlighten me. It's Overnight America, KMOX. You've been following the Brett Kavanaugh story that's broke over the weekend, and then the big news today that the New York Times completely showed their true colors by all of their omissions in order to slant this article. It's just sickening, really, if you think about it. Like, here's CBS News' Jan Crawford giving an update earlier.
All all four people that Ford identified as being at that high school party in the summer of 1982 have now said no such party occurred. Both the Republican chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Democratic chair of the House Judiciary Committee said they would not support impeaching Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Over and over and over again, you find that they're not guiding this based on evidence or truth. They're guiding this because they can't stand the idea that this man is on the Supreme Court. So they have to think of this. This is their tactic right now. They're trying to find how many things can they make up against this person? How many times can they say he's a sexual predator before they wear it down and then eventually get their way? It's pretty disgusting if you think about just how sad a state of affairs the Democrat Party today continues. The ones that are running for office, that it doesn't matter. All of the people that are quote-unquote witnesses have denied it happening, but they still want to move forward on impeachment. There's not only a person that came forward in Ford, but now there's reports that there were people that were pressured by Ford's lawyers to come out and lie to the FBI. On top of that, you find out this book coming out. They don't even talk to a witness. They make things up, and then the New York Times decides to hide in their article in order to try to make things look so bad that they have to immediately impeach, which they got what they wanted over the weekend. It was trending, and they had the celebrities getting on board. But it doesn't matter what the truth is to the New York Times. Brett Kavanaugh and got some advice from President Trump. Let me play this.
President Trump accuses the newspaper of making another terrible mistake with a story involving a woman who declined to be interviewed about an alleged incident of sexual misconduct while Kavanaugh was at Yale.
To do that about a Supreme Court justice is a terrible thing. It's a false accusation.
The president says the Times doesn't fact check the way it used to and accused the newspaper of destroying lives. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Yeah, he also said, if I remember, Brett Kavanaugh should sue for libel. And he also mentioned that anyone involved with that article should be fired from the New York Times. Now, think about this. This is an upcoming book written by someone that works for the New York Times that's coming up, and they're previewing this thing like it's a giant bombshell. And they do this and they push this through their newspaper as if it's news. Really, it's just the publicity wing of their own workers trying to push this sort of thing out. Now, this book, what happens if it comes out? What happens if it does come out? It's just another cheap ploy. And there's a couple of, like Chuck Grassley, for example. He's someone that was part of the investigation, if you remember, when they were doing the very dramatic testimony of Blasey Ford and Brett Kavanaugh. They broadcast this and Chuck Grassley was there and everyone was asking their questions and they were doing their thing. But it was a very thorough investigation behind it, and he came out and rebuked the New York Times article.
That's the opposite of corroboration and verification. When did this stuff I describe become something fit to print by the supposed American paper of record? The sad consequences of this article are a misinformed public, a greater divide in our own discourse, and a deeper lack of faith in our news media.
Mm-hmm. There's not much defending you can do to the New York Times. You don't see much of it online. Really, the only sentiment is we don't like the person. We don't like that perhaps there could be a big vote that goes to the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh could be the person that decides it or tips the scales against whatever our socially minded objective is. So we need to smear this person and continue to lie about sexual allegations against this person in order to get our way. It's pretty despicable. And a lot of the celebrities that continue to do this, you got to wonder, are they doing this because they're just ignorant and they don't pay attention and they're just kind of getting their marching orders? We do know that members of Hollywood, they do get marching orders from, you know, high-ranking Democrat officials. We know that they get talking points from them. We know that they basically, like, how many times have they got caught? Like, during President Obama's term in office, they would send these emails out and directives to politicians. Hey, tweet out about this and tweet out about that. And almost verbatim, some of them would copy the script onto their Twitter accounts as if it was independent thinking. And then you saw, what was it? Even Jimmy Kimmel was getting talking points from Chuck why can't I think of his last name? But Chuck Schumer, you know, he's sending these talking points to late night talk shows. So when they go up and do their monologue, they have ammunition they can use in order to try to slur these other people that, you know, they're politically against, and use it as a way as the attack dog, the late night talk show attack dogs. And it's sad. And I wonder how many of them have been directed to do this and they just really are too dull to look up or maybe think for themselves. That would be perhaps the only saving grace for them. Either that or they just play into the lie and they just don't care because their activism for whatever they think Brett Kavanaugh would do if a vote came up for example, abortion on the Supreme Court, then they're so scared that someone constitutionally minded would look at this thing and independently look at the case and weigh the merits of the case when it gets there, if it even does. They're so scared by that possibility that they're willing to try to destroy this person by lying over and over and then waiting a year and then lying some more. It's sad. And it's clear that the people that are bringing this up right now have their own motives, their own connection to Bill Clinton, represented Bill Clinton in the Monica Lewinsky case, represented Hillary Clinton when it came to this fusion GPS, lifelong hatred towards Republicans in general, and lifelong hatred towards Brett Kavanaugh, who worked on that impeachment case against Bill Clinton. Isn't that something? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, I guess, to some people. We can take some of your text messages on this at 436-7900, also 800-925-1120. In a moment, I want to bring on Brigadier General Rob Spalding. He's the author of a new book called Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. We got so many issues with China right now. We got so many issues with so many different countries. I wonder if moments like this, they hope, just get swept under the rug and then in the grand scale of things, you know, oh, there's an attack on an oil field overseas and gas prices are going to go up and maybe people won't pay attention and they'll forget about this masterful mistake and they'll just, in the back of their mind, remember one thing. Not that the New York Times tried to stray so many people away from the truth of what happened or tried to omit through and try to push their own biases in this article about a book that's coming out, written by one of their own. Maybe we'll forget about that, and the only thing that'll be left over is that Brett Kavanaugh is bad, and that's what they hope in general. I feel like a lot of times when you see the candidates that are on stage right now that are out there and they really don't care about the background or any of the truth when it comes to this Kavanaugh case, they just know they don't like the guy. I wonder how many of them are just purposely trying to revise history in the future that they hope one day we'll look back at this and the falsehoods and the lies are the things that'll be remembered in the history books, because they're going to be mostly looking for the way people felt as opposed to how the truth really laid itself out. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, it's so good to see his name pop up on the call screener. Patrick, all the way in D.C., how are you?
And greetings, sir, and please, for the people of St. Louis, please understand that our baseball team that is there to play baseball is not there to fundraise. They are really getting paid.
Lots of money are they getting paid. Yeah, they all are.
So there's no political wrangle going on from our baseball team there. They are really getting paid. So So I have heard the specifics of this story, or shall we say this case, shall we call it, you know, with the Times and the book and everything.
Okay.
The specifics, I'm first hearing it from you, okay? But when I first heard the winds of it, I quickly turned it off and just said, Dems, you know, because if it looks like the Dems, smells like the Dems, acts like the Dems, it is the Dems. But so, and this is what I would call right in the beginning of National Public Radio fundraising in their stations.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And this is the kind of stuff that they just harped on real fast today, and I said, okay, we're going to reminisce what we did last year. If you were frustrated last year and you weren't able to do anything about it, hey, we're here at fundraising time now, and now is your chance to give us money. So you have to look at the communicative structure of a lot of this stuff that has become very sophisticated during our short lifetime in the past few years. Just absolutely amazing. But you know, let's be realistic. In the 60s and 70s, and possibly even in the 80s, we would have never have gone this low in our society, to even in front of kids, right? We're bringing all this up now. Children are hearing these news stories. This is not adult talk. You know, children are hearing these. And I kind of wonder, where is our common sense gone? That we can't even say to ourselves, hey, look, man, kids are going to hear this. We should be talking about this behind closed doors as adults, you know. And that is basically what the internet has done, which, in my opinion, the internet was kind of put together for 14-year-old girls. And now everybody, all mature adults, are acting like little 14-year-old girls, discovering the word S-E-X.
Well, you watch the late night talk shows, for example. It used to be like, if you stayed up that late when you were a kid and you got to watch like Johnny Carson open a monologue, or you got to watch Jay Leno or David Letterman, you thought you were the most edgy kid in the planet, like in your whole class, if you're up that late and you can catch something like that. Nowhere near the things that they would joke about then pale in comparison to the way that these late night comics handle these topics now. And you're right. You can talk about Stephen Colbert, for example. We'll talk about, and I don't even want to say it on the air, but he'll go on a full rant about President Trump having, I don't even want to say it, but do you remember what the whole rant he had about Vladimir Putin and being down on his knees and all of these other sexual and things?
Disgusting stuff. That disgusting
stuff. Yeah, and that's common ground for these late night comedians like Stephen Colbert. And that's their thing. It's the things have changed.
And it's really sad. And even those who wish to have a different member of on the Supreme Court should reach for higher ground than this, because this is the escapades of teenage Brett. You know, he's a teenager. What does that have to do with any federal case? Nothing.
Well, they really underestimated a couple of things. They thought if we can go back far enough in time, 30 years, there's no way he'll be able to defend himself. There's a reason why we have certain statute of limitations, because it's impossible to defend yourself 30 years back and plus some. But it's amazing, because all of a sudden he is, because he's got all these other people that come back and say, no, none of this stuff happened. I would have remembered something like that. And he also had actual physical evidence that he was able to present. Things and documents, and like, I wasn't even in town this week, or I was on a family vacation. Here's my calendar. You know, it's amazing. They didn't count on these sort of things. They thought that if they went further back, you would just have to, by default, give up, because there's no way that his public name would be able to survive something like this. Well, aren't they surprised? Well, in this case, they're even throwing more things at him. They have people that they call quote-unquote accusers that actually haven't accused him of anything. They have said, no, none of this is true. Isn't that something? That's how far low it's gotten.
Yeah. Us adults, us men, have to stand up as you and I are doing right now and saying, hey, look, this is really disgusting. This is should not be in the public mainstream. And second, and most of all, it has nothing to do with the performance on the Supreme Court. You cannot remove or impeach a U.S. Supreme Court, a sitting judge, for what he did when he was a teenager, okay? That you can't do it. It's not going to happen. It will never happen, because impeaching a sitting Supreme Court judge, it has to be on misconduct while he is the judge.
Interesting.
Okay.
I haven't seen any evidence of that.
Right. So they're playing to the dumbness in all of us. So when PBS and NPR and the New York Times come up with these stories and the Hollywood people push us, they're only playing to the deadheads, because nobody with real common sense could even go along with it.
You know what's interesting, too? It seemed like the media, even the very left-wing media, they were even angry at the fact that he was going out there with his family volunteering at soup kitchens. They would show him and they'd be like, oh, look at him. Don't you just hate this guy? You know, they did everything they could. It didn't matter what the guy did. He was volunteering at soup kitchens and they hated him for it. So I don't know. I don't know how you could. And someone texted this in. I want to point this out real quick. One person texted in. Here's a summary of what they said. Don't worry about the judge. Go after Trump. Well, listen, if you want to look at some of the things that President Trump has been accused of, tell me if this doesn't kill your ammunition to try to go after a sitting president. If you want to look at some of the sources and all the times they've been wrong, all the times that they have maliciously tried to put false information out there, flat out lied or omitted or showed their own bias, over and over and over again. You can look at instances like this to Brett Kavanaugh. How difficult is it going to be for a President Trump to turn around and say, this is the same media that did this, these are the same politicians that did this, and now they're going after me, and guess what? You're going to lose because of all these other times you cried wolf over and over and over and over again, and you found out you had a losing case, and you had to lie in order to try to get your way, and it backfired. Now guess what's going to happen? If there was something legitimate against President Trump and they actually had a case against him, which they don't, but if they did, he's going to be able to flip this around and say they're wrong just like everything else. And you just gave him the ammunition to stop him. So, you know what? Okay. All these people out there that want to say focus on Trump because that's where the eye and the prize is, you should be even more upset about what's going on right now in the media because this is going to kill everything that you're trying to work for. But ultimately, it doesn't even matter. I don't think even if going after Trump, they're not going to do anything. Nothing's going to work. It's to me, this is Wile E. Coyote. It's just going to keep blowing up in their face.
A case in point to remember, if we go back to 2001, as on the morning of September the 11th, 2001, since we just passed the anniversary, all the medias and even the morning talk shows were still hammering on Gary Condit. Even though CBS reported a few weeks ago that all military bases in the United States and abroad have gone on high alert against terrorist attacks. And why was that never followed up? And it was just a little brief thing from Dan Rather on CBS News, but yet they hammered and hammered and hammered this thing with the Congressman Gary Condit and the intern Sharon Levy over and over and over again. We can't get hit again, folks. I mean, look just what happened in Saudi Arabia. We better start talking about other things than this nonsense.
Yeah. Yep.
We've got to grow up fast.
Yeah. I don't know if that's
going to
happen.
I thank you. But I hope we all do grow up. But we can't be talking about this nonsense. We have to talk about our own defense here in this country.
Real quick, I know that you monitor NPR because you were telling me about how annoying they are around the give us money stages. How are they covering this Kavanaugh thing? Have you heard them?
Well, they rammed it right into their prime baby, and that prime crybaby, shall we say, Terry Gross, for her fresh air. And to bring somebody on, you know, to discuss, you know, the escapades again, you know, as being so dreadful and terrible. You know, it depends which women you're going to listen to. I mean, these NPR women are not from down in Tennessee and Nashville and Texas, you know, and things like that. And so country gals down there saw, you know, Cowboy Patrick outside the barn here taking an outdoor shower and completely exposed, and what the girls would say, oh, man, you'll make a good daddy, aren't you? Your daddy, mommy, been feeding you well. So it just depends what kind of women you're dealing with. That's all I can tell you.
Wow, that took a turn. Patrick, I'm so glad you called in. I was wondering if you're going to after your email earlier. I thought, I wonder if he's going to do it. So good for you. I'm glad you did.
But NPR, this is their fundraising time and the fundraising for their stations. And I call NPR the voice of the Democratic National Committee. So there you go.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
Bye. Yeah, I listen to some NPR programming, mostly in podcast form. There's a couple of different podcasts that, and you find that it's not coming directly from NPR. A lot of them are coming from affiliates in these local markets that decide to do these themed shows. And there's some really awesome shows that I'll listen to it and I'll think, man, if only NPR as a network had this much integrity to try to stay unbiased in the way that they handle their stories. But during the day, you know, when I've only catch it every once in a while, I think they do an all right job. I think there is some selection bias in the stories they decide to tell. So, but during the day, it's a lot better than listening to some of these other major networks that have been pushing this stuff out there. Their nighttime programming, however, sometimes I'll be flipping through the stations driving into work and I'll hear their evening programs, their more opinionated programs. It is so far left slanted, it's not even funny. They don't even try to hide this sort of thing. Everything's a foregone conclusion. They don't approach it as a way to question anything, or they don't approach it with evidence. It's just a foregone conclusion. You know, as opposed to the way I handle this story with Brett Kavanaugh and trying to bring forth some of the problems with this New York Times approach to it, New York or the NPR in the evenings, they would approach it in a way that would be like, well, since sexual predator Brett Kavanaugh is sitting on the Supreme Court bench, what's the next step we need to do in order to impeach him? That's the way they would approach that topic. So it's a foregone conclusion. He's a sexual predator. You know, forget about anything else that would be contradictory to their own biases. It's very fascinating. If you get a chance to listen to it, I'm not making this up. This is what happens in the afternoon in NPR. Well, we got one more segment left. Let me give you the number again at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. Let's see what we got here. All right, we got a couple minutes left. We're going to have to save our interview with Brigadier General Rob Spalding. Maybe I'll play that back. Tomorrow we have a guest that's actually going to be joining us at midnight. And it's about mental health and self-care. And we're going to spend an hour talking about some pretty tough topics. So tomorrow at midnight, you're not going to want to miss it. And we hope that you can join us again there. A couple ways you could reach the show is by Twitter, at Ryan Recker. I like to hear from you on there. Also, you could find a way to reach the show by downloading the podcast and telling me about it. Wouldn't that be great? The way you can download it, if you have an app on your phone for podcasting, whatever you prefer to use, you may not even know you have it. If you have a smartphone, which is a phone that's got one of those screens on it that you can get those fancy applications on, well, just search Overnight America on that podcast app. It comes native with all of the different smartphones, a Google Play app, for example, or Google Podcast app, I should say. Or maybe you can find it on the Apple iTunes. Just search Overnight America and make sure you share it with a friend if there's anything in there that you hear. I can't wait for the Cardinals to start the playoffs. This knowing they're playing really well is awesome. Now, the thing that scares me is what if something happens between now and then? They've been playing so well. We've gotten so spoiled by the fact that they've been playing well. They continue to hold a lead and their way into the start of the playoffs. It'll be the first time I've actually seen the Cardinals make the playoffs since I moved here to St. Louis. And everyone says it's such a magical, magical thing. And I can't wait to see it for myself. And, of course, being right here on KMOX, when we won the Stanley Cup, wow! That was a long night. I don't even want to find out what it would be like to be here on a night when the World Series is going on. And let's say they win the World Series here in St. Louis. I don't even want to know what that would be like. It's going to be like a dream, right? You want to just experience it and live it for the moment. I want to see that happen. Could you imagine the Blues and the Cardinals winning world championships in the same year? Well, considering that it would be back-to-back, well, considering the way the two seasons work out. But wouldn't that be something? Oh, wouldn't that be great? We hope for the best here, and maybe you all get to see it firsthand. I haven't experienced it. So many of you have experienced it. You're so spoiled having a great baseball team. I grew up in Detroit. Tigers were terrible for a long, long time. Not in my lifetime have I seen a championship team. You know, they did it in the 80s, but I was way too young to remember any of that stuff. But you know, they had their chance, they made it, and, you know, the Cardinals played that out. But there's a couple of good years, but really, I saw a lot of terrible years for the Tigers. So I want to see what it's like for a team to go all the way and what that does for a city like St. Louis. Looking at some of the standings right now. This week, my wife and I have a date night, which I'm really excited for. Maybe I'll talk about this tomorrow, too. I went out and bought her a card for our anniversary, which is this week. And I went to Dollar Tree where they have two for a dollar, and I found a really nice card for her. And I saved one for later in case I need it. But now I'm taking her out. We're going out for dinner this weekend, which we have a friend of ours that are going to be watching our son, and he's going to have a great time while we go out and do something. I haven't figured out what that's going to be. But one day I'll actually surprise her with something nice. Who knows what that's going to be? Yeah, that about does it for Overnight America. The whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, I'm glad Patrick called in. I was a little bit worried because every once in a while, Patrick will email me some things and some ideas, and they're really good ideas, and I wonder, is he going to call in tonight, or is this going to be one of those nights where the reception's a little bit weird in Washington, D.C.? Yeah, Patrick's the kind of guy that has all these different radios set up in his house, all tuned to one station, and whatever station he wants to listen to, he turns that radio on. It's just as simple as that. Because you got to get that just the right fine tune in the right position at the right part of the house in order to get certain things. And considering how many miles we're away from each other, it's amazing that he can even get this. But KMOX's signal comes in strong all across the United States. We'll also have our friend on tomorrow. Drex will be out again, but we'll still hook up with Canada. And I know there's people that listen to this program all the way in Toronto. Oh, I'm so glad they do. But it's fun whenever those Tuesday nights roll around because I love our live hookup all the way through the Chorus Radio Network. All right, enjoy the rest of your night. I'll be back again tomorrow again on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And the podcast is online at KMOX.com/ONA. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.